Did you know that insulin comes from the Latin word insula, which means island? To learn more about the history of insulin and its marvelous discovery, stay tuned for the rest of this episode.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Hello, MedTalkers. I hope you are all keeping well. Welcome back to our bonus series where we are travelling back in time to unearth the stories that have led to some of the most incredible inventions within medicine, and ones that have allowed us to effectively treat our patients. Now, this episode fits in very nicely with the previous episodes, which have been part of our finals countdown revision series for medical students. So, if you are a medical student and you have exams coming up, then go over and check those revision episodes out. They are very useful, particularly if you're on the go, you're on the tube, you're in the car, going to work, or going to uni, and you need to just top up your revision. They're completely free at just the press of a button, and they're available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and other podcast platforms. So please do check those out. So, we've spoken about diabetes mellitus, both type 1 and type 2. We've talked about some of the complications of diabetes, including diabetic ketoacidosis, or DKA, and the hyperosmolar hypoglycemic state, or HHS. So, it only makes sense to explore where and how insulin was discovered, and how it became a life-saving medication, but not just for diabetes, for other medical conditions too, including medical emergencies, which I will come on to later. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to present to you the story of insulin. You may or may not know that insulin is a vital hormone involved in the metabolism of the glucose or the sugar within our bloodstream, and it is mainly associated with conditions like type 1 and type 2 diabetes, but it does also play an important role in treating other medical emergencies, which I will talk about later. Now, before insulin was discovered, treating diabetes was quite the challenge. People with diabetes had generally a poor outlook, and they didn't live for very long, perhaps a few months, rarely a few years. How were they treated? Well, they had a minimal carbohydrate intake to reduce the amount of glucose that they would ingest, in order to reduce the amount of glucose that ends up in their blood. And sometimes these diets were so incredibly harsh that people were only taking about 450 to 500 calories a day. And that's ridiculously low when you think what our normal maintenance should be, which is about 2,000 to 2,500. And of course, this does vary from person to person. And because people were in such a stark calorie deficit, they would often die of starvation. So, what changed? Well, let's take it all the way back to 1889. And this is in 1889, two German researchers, so Oskar Minkowski and Joseph von Mehring, found out that when the pancreatic gland, or the pancreas, was removed from dogs, these animals developed symptoms of diabetes and soon afterwards they died. This then led to the idea that the pancreas was the site where specific substances, and this was later named insulin, were produced. These two researchers removed the dog's pancreas to actually study the effects of digestion. And then they also found that flies were feeding off the dog's urine, which was then shown to contain sugar. Later experiments then narrowed this particular search within the pancreas to the islets of Langerhans, which is essentially a fancy name for clusters of specialized cells within the pancreas. And then in 1910, Sir Edward Albert Sharpe-Schaffer suggested only one chemical was missing from the pancreas in people with diabetes. He then decided to call this chemical insulin, which comes from the Latin word insula, which means island. And then after that, something truly miraculous occurred in Toronto. Now, when I think of Toronto, Justin Bieber and Drake, who's my favourite rapper, immediately comes to my millennial mind. I definitely don't think that it's the birthplace of insulin. In 1921, a young surgeon named Frederick Banting and his assistant Charles Best figured out how to remove insulin from a dog's pancreas. They had a lot of skeptical colleagues who said that the stuff looked like thick brown muck, but little did they know this would then lead to life and hope for millions of people living and suffering with diabetes. With this murky concoction, Banting and Best then went on to keep another dog with severe diabetes alive for 70 days, and the dog unfortunately tragically died when there was no more of this murky extract. And this was deemed a huge success, and the researchers, alongside the help of their colleagues, one being a pharmacist, they went a step further. They produced a more refined and purer form of insulin, and this was actually from the pancreas of cattle. And at the end of 1921, the pharmacist, whose name was Collip, was then sure that his extracts of insulin were pure enough to allow for further experimentation, that on humans. And so this came in 1922 in January, where Leonard Thompson, who was a 14-year-old boy that was actually dying from diabetes in Toronto Hospital, actually became the first person ever to receive an injection of insulin. Within the space of 24 hours, Leonard's dangerously high blood glucose levels then dropped to near normal levels. Well, what happened next? Yes, you guessed it. The news spread around the world like wildfire. Banting and colleagues, such as McLeod, received Nobel Prizes in medicine, which they then shared with their colleagues Best and Collip. Thank you, diabetic researchers. Banting actually famously said, "Insulin does not belong to me. It belongs to the world." He wanted everyone who needed it to have access to this insulin. Hey guys, just a quick one. If you, like me, are iPad lovers and spend all of your productive time on your iPads making notes for exams or making notes for anything else, then I cannot recommend enough the paper-like screen protector. The number of times I've scratched my unprotected iPad screen after using different styluses or styli, but since having the paper-like screen protector, it's kept my screen extremely well shielded. Its nanodot surface technology provides a better tactile feel, increased stroke friction, and minimal light diffraction so that making art and taking notes on an iPad feels as natural as writing on paper. Made for the iPad and Apple Pencil, Paperlight delivers the unforgettable feeling of real paper into your digital workspace. To find out more about this wonderful creation, you can just head on over to their website by searching paperlight.com/medtalks, and I will leave this link in the episode description so you can have a look after you've listened to the episode. And if you are interested in purchasing a Paperlight screen protector, then please do enter the code MEDTALKS at the checkout page. And again, I will leave that all in the episode description. Okay, back to the episode. Soon after, the medical firm Eli Lilly started a large-scale mass production of this insulin. And it wasn't long before there was enough insulin to supply the entire North American continent. And then in the decades that followed, manufacturers started to develop slower acting insulins. And the first one was introduced by a pharmaceutical company called Novo Nordisk in 1936. And Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk are still two of the largest suppliers of insulin in the world. Now, whilst the insulin that was extracted from cattle and also sometimes from pigs was an absolute marvellous discovery and used for many years to treat diabetes and did in fact save millions of lives, it wasn't perfect and it did cause a lot of allergic reactions to many patients. The next step was the development of the first genetically engineered synthetic human insulin, which was produced in 1978 using E. coli bacteria to produce this insulin. Eli Lilly then went on in 1982 to sell the first commercially available biosynthetic human insulin under the brand name Humulin, which you may have heard of. Now, insulin comes in many, many forms, from regular human insulin identical to what the body produces on its own, to ultra-rapid and also ultra-long-acting insulin. And thanks to decades of research, people with diabetes can actually choose from a variety of formulas and ways to take their insulin based on their own individual needs and lifestyles. From Humalog to Novolog to insulin pumps to insulin pumps, insulin has come a long way. Now, yes, granted, it's not a cure for diabetes, but it's definitely a lifesaver. In 1934, the Diabetes UK Foundation was actually founded to improve access to insulin. It was previously known as Diabetic Association, and it was set up by a novelist, H.G. Wells, and a doctor, R.D. Lawrence, both of whom had type 1 diabetes. R.D. Lawrence's life was actually saved by the discovery of insulin, and both of their missions was to ensure that everyone with diabetes within the UK had access to this breakthrough treatment, whatever their financial situation was. A year later, so 1935, the Diabetic Association was awarded its first research grant, and over the last 80 to 90 years, scientists have been making more life-changing discoveries. So they funded the first ever insulin pen and insulin pump, transforming how insulin is delivered and making living with the condition dramatically simpler. And in terms of going forward, now we're looking at potentially developing oral insulin rather than injections. And the main aim for the future is trying to eradicate type 2 diabetes and to come up with a cure for type 1 diabetes. I think it goes without saying that insulin is definitely one of the greatest medical breakthroughs in history, and it's saved millions and millions of lives around the world. The diabetic population in USA, in the UK, and around the world is growing. In the USA, roughly 8.3 million people require insulin to regulate their blood glucose levels, and it's been estimated that worldwide insulin use will increase by 20% by the year 2030. So the demand for insulin is absolutely huge. A recent WHO report came out which stated that more than 420 million people worldwide live with diabetes. And according to the report, globally about 9 million people with type 1 diabetes are relying on insulin for survival. And about 63 million individuals with type 2 diabetes are requiring insulin for treatment. Now, insulin is not just used to treat both types of diabetes. It's also used to treat their complications, such as diabetic ketoacidosis and HHS, which stands for hyperosmolar hypoglycemic state. And we have actually got two episodes covering these topics in our finals countdown revision series. So you can go and check those ones out if you haven't already listened to them. But aside from diabetes, insulin is also used to treat a medical emergency called hyperkalemia, where somebody's blood potassium levels are too high, and this can be very dangerous, and it can cause abnormal heart rhythms and potentially cause the heart to stop. And the way insulin is used is it drives potassium into our cells, reducing the concentration within the blood. Thanks to those researchers all those years ago, we are now able to effectively manage both types of diabetes, its complications, and also other medical emergencies. It's fair to say that the discovery of insulin will go down as one of the most historic events in the history of modern day medicine. And that brings me to the end of this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it and found it fascinating, just like I have. Please remember to share these episodes with your friends and anyone else who you may think will find them interesting. You can message us on Instagram. Our Instagram is medtalks.uk, or email us at hellomedtalks@gmail.com if you want to give us your feedback, ask any questions, or just say hello. We'd love to hear from you, so do get in touch. We've got lots more of these bonus episodes coming up where we explore the history of modern day medicine, so do stay tuned, and we look forward to bringing you lots more content. All the best now, and goodbye.